Words in your head of what she's actually saying.
This should be our HD channel. Did you know there's a hidden channel between the frequencies that just plays the leak song? Where can I buy one of these radios?
You have to stand in line, I suppose. Stretched around the building.
Okay.
This will be for when we launch the Rick 101 channel. Just be this. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. No, I'm just going to read some emails. 503-733-2970. Then we'll start the news hour here. Rick, this email says, let's see. I've lost the Bob Costantini email. Here we go. Rick, about Bob Costantini. Did he sound totally defeated today when he said, well, it's been a year already, Rick? Maybe we can use some sort of Franco-American spaghetti jingle for our pal Noodles Costantini. I don't think he sounded defeated.
He's a little lackadaisical.
He really is. He's got a deliberately laconic and low-key style.
He always just sounds like he's in a bad mood, that he's just tolerating whatever's happening to him.
Well, that probably is true. Here's the thing that Tim and I have talked about a lot. Tim and I have talked about, like, what are the other stations that those CNN people have to talk to? And, like, wouldn't you like to know what the Lisa Goddard interview before and after us sounds like? We should find out the list, and I don't mean to sound stalkery here, so we'll do it with somebody else that's, like, not Lisa Goddard. We'll do it like Jim Roop, because Roop's another one that's just a loose cannon. We should find an affiliate list, because, you know, CNN Radio supposedly services 3,000 radio stations. We should find another affiliate, a CNN Radio affiliate.
Do they have any in Portland?
No, I don't think so. I think we're the market exclusive for that, Sarah Dillon. But I'm saying find another affiliate where Jim Roop does live shots. Find like a webcast or just somebody who lives in that city and tape. I just like to know what Roop sounds like when he's on another. Like, can you imagine that guy trying to be a real journalist?
He is one, right?
I'm just saying. You know what I mean. Saying that with love. Ladies and gentlemen, let's begin the AM 970 noon news hour with Tim Riley.
For the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
You know what the most performed Christmas song is?
Performed by, you mean by like the radio?
I suppose so, yes.
White Christmas.
Nope. It is the Christmas song. Written by Mel Torme and Robert Wells, when Torme was just 19 years old and Wells was 22. And it was, Nat King Cole sang it originally in 1946.
Yeah. Is Mel Torme dead?
Yes, he is.
All right.
I think it was called the Velvet Fog or something like that.
Was he
just a velvet corpse.
I don't know, I have nowhere to go with that. Okay. Bam! I'm going to skip the obvious. Do you know if he was cremated?
I suppose he was.
Mel Torme roasting in an open fire.
The oldest song is Santa Claus is Coming to Town from 1934 and Winter Wonderland. They both came out the same year. The newest Christmas song is Do They Know It's Christmas from 1984.
Are these, when you say the newest Christmas song, are these like the newest standards?
This is according to ASCAP, the American Society of blah, 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 blah. And
that's the slang name.
Songs introduced in motion pictures: White Christmas and Holiday Inn, 1942. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. From Meet Me in St. Louis, 1944. Silver Bells from 1950. A Holly Jolly Christmas from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in 1962.
Oh man, Burl Ives hates that song. You want to talk about a guy who is completely trapped into the? Now he's trapped in an urn. He was trapped in the. Trapped for the holiday season. He hated kids too, Burl Ives. Mm-hmm. You've seen it because he was Big Daddy in Canada Hot Tin Roof. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the danger with a song like that. Willie Nelson had this thing. He's like, you know, if you write yourself a hit song, you better really like it because you might have to play it every night for the rest of your life. Burl Ives, he would talk openly, too. You'd see interviews with Burl Ives. So, Burl, you must love kids. I hate children. And then every holiday season, they have to be... have a holly jolly goddamn Christmas, and he'd be all drunk and bitter about it and whatnot. You know, I was at Safeway last night. You know what they were speaking of? To do a callback to the Safeway discussion earlier?
Yes.
Walked into Safeway, they were playing that Britney Spears song. All I want for whatever that's... It's that song, where she's talking about Santa, let me look inside your sack. Or whatever the hell it is. There's some Britney Spears song. And I remember it... She really is like, Santa, what's in your sack for me or something? It came out it like right after the Baby One More Time album. And I remember, I don't think she was even of age then. And I remember there was a lot of awkwardness with the men that I knew. Because you would see the video for it and, I don't know, her cakes are all hanging out. She's rolling around with a snowman and a whatever, and a, you know, an elf or something in a pile of tinsel. And you just watch it, and you're just feeling all kinds of awkward about yourself. And there is some line about three lines in, like, you know, Santa, have you got something special for me inside your big, bulging bag or something?
No, there wasn't.
Maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a Life cereal commercial.
What's going on in your head?
I'm remembering it, and really... But here's the thing about that is that when we walked to the Safeway, they're playing the Britney Spears song, and of course, all that comes to mind, Britney Spears' crotch just... Being
you mean her belly button?
Her belly button. No, I'm talking about her area being exposed for all. Here's Tim
on
Riley.
On the big screens.
Yes.
Here's Tim Riley. I don't know how to follow that up.
There's really, once we said velvet corpse, there was really no going back. Bleep that. I have to bleep that. That's the first time you have ever had to be bleeped. Think about Tim Riley. I can't believe he's actually in the wild. That's my bird. Somebody cut him off. He's had too much nog.
Pumpkin spice.
Oh, that was brilliant. I'm sad that people don't get to hear
it. I'm sad we had to. That's the first time you've ever had to be dumped, bleeped.
For a minute, I thought I was on the Liz Wilde show. I don't know.
Thank you. Thanks. I'll try not to take offense.
No. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think if there's a way to explain that.
Let's just say we were talking about Britney Spears, and then we played the opening for the Bushwatch.
And Tim noted that what better segue from Britney Spears to the Bushwatch, moving from pop culture to politics, a natural segue.
Well, it was kind of something that I was thinking of what Don Rickles might say.
You channeling.
You're channeling Rickles today? Yes.
You got it.
All right.
Well, the president expressed confidence in the leadership of Iraqi Prime Minister al-Maliki today. And said U.S. troops will stay in Iraq until the job is done. What this job is, we really don't know. Is it plumbing? Is it gardening? He doesn't specify. Through an interpreter, Maliki says he and the president are in full agreement on transferring power to Iraq security, whatever that might be, and speeding up the process.
We have agreed together, and we're very clear together about the importance of accelerating the transfer of the security responsibility.
Okay.
Through an interpreter, Maliki says those in the government must abide by the law. The
Prime Minister made clear that splitting his country into parts, as some have suggested, is not what the Iraqi people want, and that any partition of Iraq would only lead to an increase in sectarian violence.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I really let Bob Costantini go way too early here. Isn't that the whole reason for this problem in the first place? Everybody went in there in the 40s and carved Iraq up into little tiny bits and
they
parceled it out?
Lines on the map and said, this is it.
Isn't that it? Because Kuwait was part of Iraq, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the thing where Kuwait, I am kind of an ugly American, I don't really know these things, but I think it's like if somebody came into your house and just announced that the bathroom belonged to the neighbor from now on. Like, from now on, the bathroom...
The communists used to do that.
And Stalin would just wake up and just wipe off the dry map. And
somebody's putting cinder blocks in the hallway where you used to go to the bathroom. That's what happened to my relatives. I swear.
This is now part of Blekistan.
Exactly.
The glorious republic. Okay.
So, meanwhile, the president says he and the prime minister will band together because they've been so successful in Iraq. And now they're going to work on stopping Iran from building nuclear weapons.
Well, I told the prime minister we'll continue to work with the world community to insist that Iran abandon its nuclear weapons programs.
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay, yeah, good luck with that. You let us know how it goes. Kristen has confirmed Mel Torme was, in fact, the Velvet Fog, and she notes he was fantastic. Here's a little pop culture quiz, Tim Riley. So do you remember the persona adopted by Fred Flintstone when he became a crooner on an episode of The Flintstones?
Was that Dash Riprock?
No. I don't even know what that is. I mean, it's entirely possible. Fred Flintstone became the Golden Smog.
Oh, how about that?
There was some episode where Fred Flintstone became a pop singer in the style of Mel Torme, Frank Sinatra, sort of low-voiced crooner, and he became the Golden Smog. There you go. Now you know, and knowing is half the battle.
So what went on with these meetings with the president and whoever else he was talking to over there? Well, the Council of Foreign Relations President Richard Haass says not much was achieved at all.
Not a whole lot, though. It's obviously good that the meeting took place.
Yeah, sure.
But not a whole lot, in part because events on the ground are outpacing anything that's happening in Washington with the study group, anything that's happening in Amman, Jordan, between these two gentlemen.
Okay.
So they go on with the study group. There's no talking.
Let me, Rick, this is from Marianne Rambo, who emailed in earlier about the Elmo and Patsy thing. She said, my day is complete. I got to talk to you about Dr. Elmo, and I'm driving around town in a pirate outfit. Don't ask. The best show ever, Marianne Rambo. Well, we do what we can. Bob should have the Mortal Kombat theme for his introduction. Just passing it along. Okay, I'll get right on that. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, what would our day be without dead Russians? We're going to have some new ones pretty soon.
Are we done with the bushfire?
Oh, we are, Chasm.
There's your... Thank you.
The president, resident, kind of in charge. We've got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
It's so tempting to rework that into a Britney theme. It really is. It really is. Scotty... Just if you get a chance, just maybe whip something like that together, and I'll listen to it off air and see how that might work out.
I don't think it's going to work out at all.
It's going to work out poorly. Somebody's asking if we've spiked the nog. I don't know. I haven't had any of it.
Oh, there's a big container of it in the refrigerator there.
Yeah,
just in time for the holidays.
Scotty did bring it, and he does enjoy snifters of brandy.
And hot toddies.
And hot toddies.
During his bridge club meetings.
It does make you kind of crazy.
I've noticed that.
Everyone, go pick up pumpkin spice coffee.
I think I put a little bit too much in mine.
I agree with that assessment. Here's Tim Riley.
So let's talk about more dead Russians, or more soon-to-be dead Russians. Former Russian Prime Minister Igor Gadar is being treated at a Moscow hospital, like that'll help, after falling violently ill on a trip to Ireland.
The Moscow hospital, they just hit you in the head with a rock and cut off one of your feet?
Yep. Speculation is rife he may have been poisoned. He fell ill a day after former Soviet spy Alexander Levinsky died of radiation poisoning in London. Mr. Gadar's daughter Maria said... Doctors declined toward the view that his symptoms indicate poisoning. He was rushed to intensive care in Dublin, then flown to Moscow, where he had insurance. He's 50 years old. He now has nosebleeds and he vomits. And he faints, too.
That's going to impair your social life.
He was visiting the New World to promote his book, The Death of the Empire. His daughter is quoted as saying he had eaten a simple breakfast of root salad and a cup of tea.
Let's all have root salad and then have our nose begin to bleed.
Meanwhile, the investigation into the death of that other former Russian spy is now pan-European. Five British Airways planes are said to be of interest to police and are being tested for possible radiation containment. Well, of course, they have been already. British Home Secretary Don Reid said experts are testing a growing number of locations for traces of polonium-210.
Police continue to trace possible witnesses and to examine Mr. Litvinenko's movements at relevant times. It is probable that the investigation will continue to bring additional locations to our attention for screening.
This guy sounds like a guy who could get the job done, though. This guy, that guy sounds like a man who knows what he's talking about there. Like he's got a fedora and a rumpled top coat or something.
He's got a black bag and taking an abandoned subway station.
Exactly. Jabbing a finger into your chest while he interrogates you. Don't get smart with me, boy. All right.
Tim Riley. Well, let's see here. A former teacher's assistant already indicted for allegedly having sex with an eighth grader at Rainier Junior High School.
Bam.
Additional charges in Longview. And this has to be the hottest teacher who ever appeared in Longview. Take a look at that.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Hey, who wants to be daddy's
little... The blonde one?
Yeah.
And she's 35.
Oh, she's daddy's dirty little girl.
She's not a little girl. She's 35.
Star is still out of town. I know you're talking your big boy talk. Oh, she's really pretty.
Yeah.
Speaking frankly in a plain tone.
She is.
She's really cute, and she's a teacher?
Yeah, she's Kristen Marie Johansson. The Longview Daily News reports that police are investigating a report that the 35-year-old brought the boy, then 15, to Longview on several occasions for sex. The story also said Columbia County authorities have forwarded the report to the FBI, and the boy's mother said she has been told that possible kidnapping charges might apply for allegedly crossing state lines for a minor for the purposes... This kid must really be embarrassed.
What kind of a teacher was she? I mean, what did she teach?
Now, let me look.
I mean, you look at that girl. She's not a woodshop teacher. That's, no. I mean, so to speak. That was unintentional.
She's just a plain old teacher.
She might be a woodshop teacher.
She was fired in September in order to stay away from the boy and the school.
Can you help me study my Longfellow?
Yes.
I think there's something in the air here today.
I think it's a fire. There's something maybe burning down around us.
Well, you know, I know what it is. I know exactly what it is. It's the same thing. I think you were gone by the time we figured this out yesterday.
Oh. Glue?
The glue.
Oh.
That's exactly what it is. Here's, not to get...
It is the glue.
Not to get sidetracked here, but...
Not at all.
We got off the air yesterday. We were standing out of the hallway, and it was like me and Sarah and Smokey, who works next door at the sister station KUPL, and Ryan from engineering and a couple of the other geeks from across the hall. And we were standing in the hallway, and normally the show finishes, and we all disperse to our separate areas. You know, Tim gets on the Mac, Sarah goes to production room, I go to my office, Smokey goes, you know, goes outside and does whatever Smokey does, blah, blah, blah. Everybody immediately
smokes.
He vanishes. I wasn't going to give that away on the air.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's his name. That name must derive from something. Maybe you like smoked meats.
Would you care to elaborate?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not sure of his eating habits. Should we continue?
I honestly don't know.
Okay. Should we pick a different topic? That might be available. That might be of interest.
Let me just to say, though. So normally, when this show is over,
people...
We disperse, right, like cockroaches, yeah, when the light comes on in Florida. We just go our separate ways. But yesterday, for some reason, we were all hanging out in the hallway right outside the studio. And then we got into this whole discussion. Do you know that joke? The, you know, wrecked him, I nearly killed him. You know that joke? We got literally into like a 12-minute argument over what the joke means and what the punchline is and what the setup is. And the thing is, nobody could, and please don't call with it, but no one could remember the setup to that punchline. You know, were you talking about the car? Wrecked him, I nearly killed him. Nobody could remember the setup. Don't call with the setup now. It's just don't. But like 12 minutes were spent outside in the hallway, and then the argument just descended into like the weird, like, stoned, late at night, you're in your dorm room, one too many brownies, watching your lava lamp, kind of giggling. Everybody was here. No one could control their giggle, and we couldn't figure out why. This is a totally true story. Sarah was there. So yesterday, we're sitting down the hallway, and suddenly it's like, why are we all standing here just giggling insanely? And then all at once, like Ren and Stimpy style, our heads turn towards the production studio, like, we all turn and look, and in there is a carpenter who has ripped up the carpet, and he's got huge, like, barrels of glue open, and he's all... smearing the glue everywhere.
There's no air circulating.
There's no air circulating at all.
No windows that open.
Oh, no, there's no windows that open. All the vents are shut down. We're in a tiny little room. They're breathing toluene fumes for like 4 hours. So, and you know, that was only a few hours ago, really. And that room is right across from us. So, in case you should hear anything odd happen during today's program, that might be the cause of it. Just so you're aware. And now, taking my life in my hands, we go back to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a trainer at SeaWorld in San Diego is recovering this afternoon after being pinned at the bottom of an exhibition tank during a Shamu show.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, normally this is a harmless, friendly beast, but not this time. One audience member said the trainer was conscious, but appeared to be very pale when he surfaced. Oh, this is B1.
From what we could see as far away as we were. And he was just white as a ghost. And they pulled him back, but the whale did try. He jumped over and he tried a noise that I've never heard before. Yeah, it was a squealing noise.
We don't know if it was from the trainer or Shamu.
Yeah, so let me play that one more time.
From what we could see as far away as we were. And he was just white as a ghost. And they pulled him back, but the whale did try. He jumped over and he tried a noise that I've never heard before. Yeah, it was a squealing noise.
Brains! So this is the...
This is the big tourist attraction of this.
This is
SeaWorld thing.
Is there only one Shamu? Is Shamu a catch-all name for whales like Orca?
I think they want it to be thought of as being just one whale. There's probably like a body double for him somewhere.
Oh, okay. But so Shamu, though, theoretically, as far as the Rube tourists know, it is one whale. Okay.
Right.
And so but Shamu went crazy and tried to kill a guy.
Yes.
Well, that's fantastic. How'd you like to be smacked on the nose and hit with mackerel and made to jump over things?
And eat the same fish every day.
Seriously.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
And something's got to give.
And you know, Rube really is gone. It's like the worst week for him to be gone. Britney Spears going all crazy. Snoop Dogg arrested outside of the Price is Right taping or whatever the hell it was. And then today, Shamu tries to kill a guy at SeaWorld, which is fantastic. So good for you, Shamu. I would like to encourage all creatures at SeaWorld and all creatures everywhere to rise up against your human captors. Here's Tim Riley.
It took sheriff's deputies to save a man being attacked by an alligator early yesterday morning at a lake in Florida.
Oh, that's me. Yeah. That was me. That was all me.
Neighbors call 911 after hearing a man scream for help at 4 a.m. What's he doing swimming with gators that early? When they arrived, they heard 45-year-old Adrian Apgar calling for help and went into the gator-infested water to rescue him. Deputy Billy Osborne describes the scene.
Play a tug-of-war with the victim, and then the gator splashed and released him. That's when we pulled him more, and then that's when the gator went and got him again on the rear end.
Just when I thought that soundbite couldn't get any worse. How'd you like to be that guy? And they're playing tug of war with you, and like one guy's got a hold of like your ear, and like there's an alligator that's got a hold of your buttock. Let's play this again. Listen for the worst
because
sentence
it's
ever.
So bad.
Play a tug of war with the victim, and then the gator splashed and released him. That's when we pulled him more.
Wait
and
for
that's
it.
When the gator went and got him again on the rear end.
That'll teach him.
Seriously, what would you be doing that you would end up inside an alligator's mouth in a swamp at 4 a.m. Seriously, that guy's up to no good. There's some skullduggery going on there.
The deputy said the situation was unlike any other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was definitely afraid. I mean, this is serious. We're fighting it. I think they said it was a 12-foot alligator. So, I mean, it's a serious deal. It's not nothing. We haven't had this training before. I can assure you that.
12-foot.
Things got tense when the victim said he felt another gator in the water.
Oh.
The victim came by and said, you know, there's another one swimming around. I can feel him swimming around. Then we all looked at each other. And we were like, okay, well, we got to figure something out here.
F this.
So the victim admitted he smoked crack cocaine before deciding to go swimming in the nude at 4 a.m. Earlier reports indicate the victim had one broken arm and the other was partially amputated. He also received a minor trauma to the upper leg, the buttocks. None of the deputies was injured, though.
Yeah, try to fire up that crack pipe with one hand now, Stumpy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Pop singer Nick Lachey is going from lead singer of a boy band to baseball team owner. He is now one-third owner of the Tacoma Rainiers, a AAA affiliate of the Seattle Mariners. Number five.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't, let's see.
I think in particular, creating an overall entertainment experience for people is really going to be our primary focus.
But that guy has moved so far and so fast away from...
All the way to Tacoma.
He's moving up in the world. But that guy is so past Jessica Simpson. I'm telling you this, in like 5 years, the fact that he was Jessica Simpson's husband will be an asterisk. That is a guy who clearly has his eye on the prize, as they used to say. That's a guy with his eye on the ball. Jessica Simpson is just going to be a footnote in that guy's life within a decade. He seems like a man with a plan. Fantastic. Okay.
two popular radio personalities in Florida.
Oh,
That was me.
Told their audience their mysterious suspension earlier this year involved playing a song called Who Put the Stump in My Rump? They discussed their suspension when they resumed their daily zany morning show. These are Lisa and Timmy.
Oh, God, tell me they're not CBS employees.
Cumulus.
Oh, okay. Cumulus. All right. Fantastic.
The offense happened about this time last year when they played Who Put the Stump in My Rump, a holiday novelty song, on the day before Thanksgiving. A listener complained to the station, and instead of pulling the song from rotation, the zany morning team asked their audience if they wanted to hear the song, which is sung from the point of view of an angel atop a tree. Let's see here. Oh, they have been taking supportive calls from listeners.
This is a news story, by the way.
This is a news story of an actual event.
We're reading this now in the news hour.
Which occurred on the Cumulus Broadcasting Company affiliate in Brevard County, Florida.
Well done. Way to keep the broadcast for the people and the children.
Yes.
All right, there you go. Let me get this phone call about an alligator. And it does not sound like a Beyonce song. Stop it. There was one killer whale at each SeaWorld park named Shamu.
So it's a franchise.
It is. It's like Gallagher and Gallagher 2. Or it's like the Drifters. There's like three different Drifters groups touring the country. This email just says, best show ever. I just nearly wrecked my car. Thanks a lot. Well, I'm not even going to say it. Let's get the Tony. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
I just wanted to comment on that story. You're just reading about the alligator. They missed the best part of it. They were talking about it on Corolla this morning. The guy was out there in the first place because he was smoking a crack pipe.
Well, you just said that.
You
weren't. Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was in the back of my truck. I didn't hear that part. Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the back of your truck? Well, those co-eds don't tie themselves up, I guess.
Beer.
What's that?
Delivering some beer.
Oh, and now are you, when you say delivering, is that code for, are you delivering the beer into your stomach?
No, not yet. That'll be later when I'm done.
That was, that laugh, that was sort of a...
That belongs on a morning show.
That was really sort of a, my boss is listening, of course not. That would be wrong. That's what that laugh was right there. Excellent.
Exactly.
Cool. Thank you, sir. And as always, delivery drivers are the backbone of the Rick Emerson audience. We salute you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. That's Tony. There you go. Fantastic. We should break here. And so forth.
Get more coffee? More pumpkin spice?
Sniff some more glue. I think we've had enough. Sniff some more glue in the hallway. Good God Almighty. Okay. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. And also, email if you like. Rick at rickemerson.com. Rick! soul. Oh, this is about yesterday when we were talking about the Mikey cereal thing, which I will not reprise or reprise today. Except for this guy who says, Rick, I seem to remember an alternate reality where Nelson Mandela had died in the 1980s. Me and lots of other people to talk to. We all remember him dying. It's so weird. Yes, it is, Sean. Yes, it is.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Let's do the clergy watch.
Here's your clergy watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Radio Show.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Because I gotta have faith. Oh, I gotta have faith. Because if I have faith, 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 I gotta have faith, faith, faith.
Benedict XVI, the current pope, who has never been shy about condemning homosexuality or gay marriage, might be interested to know that the translators spreading his message of tolerance to Turkey and its Muslim community is an actress who is considered a gay icon in Italy.
That's hard to believe. I'm stunned.
Her name is Sarah Yilmaz, and she has been attending to His Holiness and Turkish President Ahmet Necdet Sezer. It has appeared in a number of films with gay themes, including His Secret Life and Harem Square, according to the Pink News. Perhaps Yilmaz could educate the Pope Benedict about the secret life of some of his priests.
So this goes, and this Sarah, by the way, if you want to see a picture, you post a picture of his red ruby slippers or whatever the hell they are, his shoes?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you go to sarahxzillin.com. You can see a large photograph of His Holiness the Pope's large red joyous festive shoes. All right, there you go.
Is that our clergy watch?
That is, yeah. Here's your clergy watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Radio Show.
Because I got to have faith. Ooh, I got to have faith. Because I got to have faith. Faith, faith, faith. I got to have faith.
Well, what's Howard Dean up to lately, you ask? He is in Montreal, speaking of the godless Canadians, those liberals. He is still the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, and he says his party's win in the midterm election was due to good planning. Speaking at the opening of the Canadian Liberal Party convention in Montreal, Howard Dean says it was a 50-state tragedy.
We did it by showing up in every state in the country and reaching out to all of our citizens, regardless of party, regardless of religious affiliation. We did it by speaking about our values and the beliefs that we share.
Why is he speaking? They don't vote in Canada.
Yeah, they do.
Well, not. That's not for us. That was my. I mean, I'm sure they vote for somebody. Is he up there just hanging out and having flapjacks or something? Well, okay.
Well, Canada's kind of one big blue state.
Here's the thing is, I got to go to...
You got to go to Canada?
No, I do. I can talk about it now because my wife is still gone. Mm-hmm. But, so Laura is in Provo through the end of, this weekend. So this it's the best month ever for me because I get to go to Provo this weekend. But not even like... I mean, I guess I shouldn't complain that I'm only going to be there for 2 days, but it's like I'm getting on the plane, going to Provo, going there, and it basically is just like going there and having hot needles thrust into your eyeballs for a couple of days, and then I get on the plane and come home. I'll get back here like midnight on Sunday, so I'll be exhausted and cranky on Monday. That'll be fun. And then, my whole thing is just trying to stay as far away from my family as possible. No offense. But so
I do it well.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I've been quite successful at it for many years now.
For a long time, they didn't even know my address. It was wonderful. They didn't know my phone number. They couldn't have found me if their lives depended on it. They'd need Philip Marlowe to track me down. But the problem with having a wife is just that wives are somehow always really into this. They're always really into spending time with family. Doesn't even matter whose family it is. Doesn't even have to be their own. So Laura has gone ahead and scheduled this Christmas thing. Who even knew they had Christmas in Canada? So I got to go to Canada on, I don't know, like the few days, because we're going to record some you know, we'll do some pre-recorded stuff as we always do, and then we'll have like a little radio play thing I'm going to try to put together. But on like Christmas, like on a Monday and a Tuesday, so like that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we're not going to be here, and you know, and I just look forward to long hours of doing nothing, just sitting at home in blissful, peaceful holiday solitude. Not so. I get to drive to Canada. There's some island or something up there. Is there an island in the middle of Canada?
I would imagine so. There are plenty of islands up there.
Anyway, so I get to go and drive and spend the Christmas with my relatives in an island in Canada.
Oh, those are the islands that the polar bears are trying to grab onto.
Yes, that one. That's where I'm going to be. So, in any event.
Right. Well, Canada's kind of a laid-back place because they know nobody really, you know, cares about their opinions and what they may think of the world. So why comment in the first place?
They're sort of America on the heavy-duty Prozac or something.
I'm telling you, there would be no American television without Canada.
Well, because they film everything there. Everything is filmed in Vancouver, B.C.
Or Toronto.
Yeah, it is, that's why everybody you met, if you go to Toronto, you suddenly, I'm in New York. Because every time you see New York, it really is someplace in Canada. All right. Well, Howard Dean is up there anyway.
Yes, he says there's a bond between Democrats and Canadian liberals.
We, Democrats in the United States and liberals in Canada, share a belief in the same things.
And Mays.
Fiscal responsibility and socially progressive values.
Okay.
So that's that.
There you go.
YouTube is under pressure to remove some of its videos that show how to pick locks. After an investigation of the popular video sharing website, a British consumer advocacy group said it found more than 280 videos that demonstrate step-by-step how different locks can be picked and what tools are needed. In a report on the Today Show, locksmith Glenn Eldridge says the videos are dangerous.
In the video that I saw, it is exactly right. It's very dangerous. It's very unsafe to the...
He's at that rave we read earlier. Let's hear that one more time.
In the video that I saw, it is exactly right. It's very dangerous. It's very unsafe to the general public.
This is like that video that went around, I don't know, about a year and a half ago. I probably shouldn't even repeat it on the air for like the one guy that hadn't heard about it. But that video that went around showing how you could pick a kryptonite bike lock with... do you remember the video I'm talking about? With a common household device?
Like with, yeah.
With a plunger. Yes, with a turkey baster. With a George Foreman grill, you can easily pick most kryptonite locks. Now, there was this video that went around showing there was an item, which you may have in your hand right now, that it showed how you could pick a... And kryptonites were like the gold standard for bike locks. Apparently, you could pick them in like 4 seconds or something. And yeah, everybody I knew sent me that video.
Actor Danny DeVito's apparent drunken visit to The View yesterday appears to be water under a bridge. On today's show, co-host Barbara Walters shared that DeVito had already tried to get in touch with her to smooth some things over.
I called him back on the cell phone, and he had already left on a plane, but it said that he was not going to say anything until he had talked to me.
Aww.
And I thought, you know, we love him. We'll have him on again.
Of course.
I mean, he is sober
Now we were not gonna play this yesterday because it just went on and on forever. And
it's more of a visual thing.
It is more of a visual thing because here's the thing. So Danny DeVito was on The View yesterday, drunk, totally drunk, and he's a small man. You got to figure one good aperitif is enough to do him in. So Danny DeVito is on The View, and you get the feeling Barbara Walters. I mean, she seems outwardly very nice, but you get the feeling she runs that place with an iron boot. You know what I mean? You don't screw with Barbara Walters. She strikes me as a control freak to the nth degree. And she's fine, you know, whatever. It's her show. But Danny DeVito shows up, A, drunk, and B, I think he said he'd been awake for something like 28 hours. And he just started... I mean, look, I know everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody needs someone to hold, or whatever that song is. But I don't want to think about Danny DeVito putting it to Rhea Perlman, like, in the best of... The look on Tim's face says it all.
It's like visualizing a meatball with hair.
You mean Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito, yes.
The look on your face was just sort of a, do I smell radon somewhere? That was sort of the look. But they're talking to Danny DeVito, and so like, so, because he'd just come from spending the night in the Lincoln bedroom or whatever the hell. Which surprised me anyway, because I thought during the Bush administration, I didn't think he'd be having any actors, any liberal Hollywood types at the White House. Apparently, Danny DeVito had spent the night in the Lincoln bedroom, and he made some remark about, like, so they tried to ask him in a very daytime-friendly, family-oriented way if he and Rhea Perlman, brace yourselves, had relations in a biblical sense in the Lincoln bedroom. And he makes some remark to the, well, you know, in the hallway, all those women look alike. And then, like, leers at Barbara, like, makes big googly eyes. And Barbara Walters, and you could see as the bit went on that Barbara Walters becoming more and more angry. And he looked all bad, man. His hair's all messed up. He kind of looked like himself in, like, a penguin mode. But he was clearly sloshed.
Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, he looked bad. The co-host of The View, Rosie O'Donnell, who seems to be in the news every day, she must have a very good publicist, said she appreciates anchor Danny DeVito's drinking honesty.
I love the guy. I think he's a riot. I've loved him forever. He was funny. At least
sweet guy.
At least he came out and said it. You know, he walked out and said, listen, I knew those last few lemon shows were going to put me over the edge. But I'm still here.
No, was that loud?
Imagine having to listen to that voice
for an hour, 5 days a week, in a room this size.
Oh, good God Almighty! That's the thing where you just go in every day, just jamming cotton as far into your cochlea as you can possibly get it. Rick, as I depend on your show for all my news, thank you, sir. I immediately went to MSN.com to see what they had posted regarding the killer whale. They had a video taken by an audience member. The best part was when the emergency crew was strapping the man to the gurney. The huge whale made a slow pass by and to look through the glass wall of his tank. You could almost hear the whale taunting the man. Who's the tool now, human? Ha ha. Fantastic. I have to go look at that. Excellent. Let's see. What else do we have here? Email. Are these people calling about Canada? All right. Let's see.
They could be Canadians.
Chris, hello. Are you Canadian?
I am not Canadian. I just was in Vancouver, or actually Victoria.
That's where it is, Victoria. That's where I'm going.
Vancouver Island. I was there for Labor Day weekend, and Victoria is a cool city. You'll dig it. It's a lot like Portland, a little bit cleaner. You can if you're staying down in the harbor front area, you can walk to anything you want to do.
Now, is this like some Bainbridge Island thing though, where it's like I got to get there on a ferry, and if I'm 5 minutes late, like I'm stuck, like hanging.
Yeah, they've got but the ferries run all the time, so there's tons of them there.
Stuck on the pier with a bunch of transvestite hookers and longshoremen until the next ferry comes in the morning.
Pretty much.
All right, so so there's stuff to do there. I'm not just going to be with my family for 4 days.
Oh yeah, lots of cool clubs, bars to hang out at. Canadian women are very, especially in Vancouver Island, very beautiful, and they dig American men.
That's right. My wife will be glad to hear that. Tim is shaking his head, by the way, and going, not true. Tim, all right. Excellent. Well, fantastic. There you go. All right. So is it a big place?
Victoria is about 400,000.
All right. Okay, so it's not like, here's the thing, because I don't know anything about other countries, and Sarah and I have had this discussion, this is way, way, way far out in the future. We'll talk about this later, but I mean, next year sometime, like by the end, next fall, like about a year from now, I'm going to be, my wife is just giving me this flat out ultimatum. She's going to make me go to Italy with her. And I know that everybody's, it's like cry me a river, you have to go to Italy, but it's like,
in a foreign country, you need to have a camera crew following you.
But that's
you
what
around.
I'm saying, it's like Sarah knows, I don't want to go to a foreign country, and maybe I'll like it when I get there.
You're such an ignorant American.
It's true,
And it would be amusing to watch you try and travel.
No, that's the thing is, it would be like Borat in reverse. I would just totally, where can I find a taco? Just as I'm going through, as I'm going through...
Canada's United States light, so you'll be fine there.
See, that's my thing. But because I have no knowledge of foreign countries, when Lara was describing this island that I have to go to, that I get to go to, where I get to be embraced in the sweet bosom of family over Christmas, she's like, well, it's an island off the sea, off the coast of Canada or whatever the hell. And in my head, I'm picturing that poster that you've seen hang in a million dentist's office where there's the guy in the lighthouse that's being engulfed by a huge white wave, and he's just like ducking his head out of the door, and there's a huge wave coming to destroy the lighthouse, and it's just like off in the middle of the ocean, miles from civilization. That's kind of what I picture this island of Canada being like. So I'm glad to know that at least if worse comes to worse, there's a bar that I can go find somewhere.
Yeah, Victoria is very much like Portland.
But cleaner.
Yeah, just a little bit cleaner.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right,
that's Chris. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, you're probably wondering, what's Gina Lola Brigida up to lately?
Rotting, I would imagine.
She's an Italian screen siren. You should become familiar with her if you want to visit that country.
Is she still alive?
Yes, she is.
Okay.
She's visiting Philadelphia, promising to bring her art to town. She's 79 years old.
By art, she means breasts.
She's still active, and after a career as an actress, then as a photographer, she is now a sculptor and would like the world to see her handiwork. This is a B1.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had to reload B. I would have played
Gina Lola Brigida Speaks.
I would have played the Shamu cut. That would have been a
pleasure. That would have been bad.
All right.
All my life, the thing that I loved most was sculpture. I started very young in the school, but then the destiny wanted that I made an actress.
I have huge man hands. I don't know. I'm rolling with the voice. She has a very resonant voice.
She's very Italian.
She is. Well, she was a huge sex symbol kind of back in the day, right?
Back in the Kennedy days, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know a whole lot about her. She's one of those women that I only know about kind of through... She's like Charo to me. Like, I only really know about
she's
her...
She's mentioned in that thing you do when they when they're interviewing the astronaut.
Right.
Your latest film with Gina Lola Brigida. Remember that?
It's out of this world.
Right, out of this world.
Yeah.
Okay. Gina Lola Brigida says her acting career was wonderful, but now she's making an effort in photography.
So for many years, I went around the world doing photography. Then at the end, I said, now it's time to go back to my first love sculpture. So I started at 90 on the World Fair with one sculpture.
Okay. There you
You'll be staying with relatives in Jersey.
I was going to make a joke about her next career, but you know what? I'll wait. We really peaked with the Velvet Corpse. There's really nowhere to go there. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I think that if you do this Italy trip, you should get with a travel agency so that we can, as you know, like a fan base, buy tickets and then follow you guys around from like 150 feet back.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like the best week of my life.
That would be fantastic. And then we could all film it. We could have a big film festival when we came home, you know, like stupid Rick things or you know, that'd be awesome.
That's the love, by the way. Attention, advertisers. This is the respect and admiration that the Rick Emerson Show engenders, yes?
And the other thing, too, is that Shamu in Florida. That thing happened in Florida, right?
No. That was in California.
SeaWorld,
San Diego.
Because the one in Florida,
that was a shark.
I think it was 2 years ago,
they
found a dead naked man floating in Shamu's tank.
Really?
Yeah, he was mentally ill, imagine that. And he thought the whale was talking to him, so he went in to show his love for the whale.
Oh.
And didn't work out so well for him. Now, dig this. This is the best part. The family sued SeaWorld because there weren't enough notices that the animal could be dangerous.
And that you shouldn't attempt to have sex with an orca whale. Okay.
If you Google that, it's a great story because you know the guy felt a connection to Shamu in a biblical sense.
Mm. We'll do that during the family hour.
That's like full on. Like you need those crampon things for that, or to get a mining helmet. All right, thanks.
Well, it's amazing though there's not video somewhere because they've got video on tanks 24 hours.
We're all disappointed about
it. Very unfortunate. However, will I live without seeing a man crawl into one of Shamu's orifices? All right, thank you, sir. Okay, that's John who will be stalking me throughout Italy next year. Watch for it on pay-per-view, won't you, please?
Here's Tim Riley. Time for a snuff.
Oh, fantastic. Not fantastic, but
no.
But, you know, part of life, Rick Pageant. To live is to die.
The founder of Häagen-Dazs ice cream is dead. Ruth Mattis was 90. You might have thought her name would be Häagen-Dazs, but apparently not. She founded this ice cream in Hackensack in 1960.
Home of all fanciful and wonderful dairy products.
And apparently, her husband, Ruben, concocted the nonsensical name Häagen-Dazs. You thought it was European all along, didn't you?
Yeah, it means nothing.
It meant nothing in any language.
Yeah.
For the brand that became famous for its rich recipes. During the company's early years, Ruth Mattis would offer samples in grocery stores. Rose and Ruben were pioneers and legends in the ice cream field, said Jerry Greenfield, who co-founded Ben & Jerry's. Pillsbury acquired Häagen-Dazs in 1983. A profile of Ruben Mattis a few years later said he received about $70 million in the deal. Häagen-Dazs is now part of Nestle's. Even though she had diabetes, Rose Mattis was a fan of her product, particularly vanilla, said her daughter Doris.
I particularly enjoyed the diabetic seizures that it gave me.
Mm-hmm. If it was anywhere in sight, she would sneak it. My dad was always yelling, Rose, get out of the ice cream.
Rose, quit your twitching.
Well, she wouldn't, and she has finally died at 90. So I guess it didn't do her much harm, said her daughter. So
Häagen-Dazs is like, I don't think IKEA means anything either, but Häagen-Dazs is a completely fabricated. That is one of those bits of knowledge that I knew that now it's the death of another pop culture nugget that only I knew. Now everybody will know that.
Mm-hmm.
Is Häagen-Dazs, what am I confusing that with? There's another ice cream that has a name a lot like Häagen-Dazs. I'm thinking of Dreyer's Breyers. That's the thing. There's those two.
They're easy to confuse.
Now, are they the same? Are they owned by the same company, or is that just a coincidence, the Dreyer's Breyers thing?
I'm not sure.
Best ice cream flavor? Go. Sarah?
I like the mint chocolate chip or else the vanilla bean.
Mint chocolate chip is really good, actually. Tim Riley?
Chocolate obsession.
Now, is that from, who is that from?
That is
from
a soy-based product.
Oh, that's right. See, you're a little limited because you're not able to,
No, I enjoy these flavors that are non-dairy, including this, this kind of Coffee Mate that we're all enjoying here.
The Coffee Mate is sort of, the Coffee Mate has sort of become like your, it is the, I don't know, I was going to say it's almost like a Viso-like addiction with you guys, because I've noticed that Coffee Mate bottle is it's never out of reach with you guys today.
There's a full one in the refrigerator and a small one for backup.
And Scotty noted that they don't make it the rest of the year. It is a seasonal product only. And so it's a thing you have to stockpile right now. All right, you know, here's the thing, just as a side note, though, about ice cream. They sell these things, I forget who makes it now, but they're called dibs. Have you guys seen the dibs?
No.
They're like individual small nuggets of ice cream coated with chocolate. Really, they're unbelievable.
Dibs.
And the thing is, they're sold. It comes in a like a little bucket box kind of thing. But it's just like regular. It's like they're from Nestle, I think. But,
are they ice cream?
Yeah, they're like bonbons. They're like bonbons. Yeah, they're like that, but they don't have like, because a lot of bonbons have like a caramel center.
So it ties you over until you can get a large bowl of this. It's a temporary fix until you get to the real thing.
I can cradle it under my arm as I'm wandering from one aisle to another, wondering what gallon-sized bucket of ice cream comes with a cheesy center. Well, never mind. I got nothing. There you go. That guy Haagen-Dazs. Yeah, she's dead. There you go. There's just nothing. Come back after this with Ed McCarthy, the great Elmo and Patsy Instapoll, and is Kevin Federline paying for sex?